We all want to be happier, but how do we get there? First, we start by realizing happiness is not a destination. Being happy consists of micro action steps every single day. I'm your host, Brittany King, and I'm here to guide you along the way. Hello, my friend, and welcome back to the Positively Real podcast. It's your girl, your friend, your host, coach, all the things, Brittany King, and welcome back to the Stressless podcast series. If you listened to last week's episode, I introduced a series that I'm doing in all of April about stress. I realized that this is something I talk to my clients about all the time, and it's something I've been helping clients with for the past 6 years. And I realized I never really dedicated that much time on the podcast talking about stress. And I figured, what better way than sharing this information with you? Because if I can help you build stress resilience and help you build a little toolkit, toolbox, a menu, if you will, of ways that you can really help either reduce stress or minimize stress, or most importantly, manage it. Because if you listen to last week's episode, and if you haven't listened to it, I suggest you do, mostly because I'm just building on it. So I'm not going to go over what I talked about last week. I will briefly touch on it, but I'm not going to go into much detail. But you'll kind of see there is some things that I do repeat, and mostly because repetition is the master of all skill. And that's how we really learn these concepts. So we can take them from just a concept and actually into a embodiment, into a practice. So some of the things will be repetitive, but they do build on each other. So I would suggest going back to last week's, because I just break down what the heck stress actually is and the different kinds of stress. And it's just good to have context and understand it, because I think a lot of times with people come to me, they kind of just tell me that they are stressed, and they use the language of "I am stressed" over and over again. And it really starts to become a part of their identity versus a state. It's not a trait. It's something that we experience as human beings, and it was necessary for survival. So that was last week's episode. This week, we're building on it, and we're going to talk about stress and emotional regulation. It's just, without emotional regulation, it's really hard to manage stress. That's the key. Mastering emotional regulation will transform your response to stress, which will ultimately lead to a more fulfilling, harmonious, and I say balanced life, but the balance is truly internal. It's not external. It's you feeling more balanced and in control inside of your body. And that's what emotional regulation really does. I think a lot of times when we hear about emotional regulation, we just think about being calm all the time. And that's not what regulating our nervous system is about. It's not about being calm every waking moment. We do need a little bit of stress in our life. That stress hormone gets us going. And it's important to recognize when we need it and when it becomes too much or harmful. So we talked about what stress is. And essentially last week I said, what is stress? It's a messenger. It's data. It's information. It's telling you to pay attention. Last week, I talked about the effects on your mind and body, and it doesn't just impact you on a physical level. It impacts your physiology, your psychology. I mean, it impacts you mind, body, spirit, soul. So in this episode, I want to introduce emotional regulation. I think it's the most important skill in managing stress, and I want to break it down so you can understand why it's so important to have this skill set and how it can help you navigate your feelings more effectively, which will prevent stress from overwhelming you. So, what is the connection between stress and emotional regulation? So, the thing is, when we are experiencing stress, it's happening inside of our bodies, right? And so we think it's something that is happening outside of us. We think it's the boss. We think it's the car payment. We think it's the house payment. And those are circumstances, but it's not the external. It's what happens inside of us. And that is where stress comes from. It comes from inside of us. We often say, oh, I feel so stressed because of my boss. My boss is breathing down my neck. It's the interpretation, it's the perception of boss, quote unquote, the thought breathing down your neck and how that makes you feel. And so being able to emotionally regulate and realize there's not a threat and process the emotions that are coming up will ultimately help you respond to the external things in your life versus react. Because if you don't have this skill set, and I say it's a skill set because it's something that we learn throughout, we can learn. I'm not going to say we all have situations growing up or even in our adult life that we have the opportunity to learn it. And that's why I teach it, because I never learned how to manage my stress. I never learned how to emotionally regulate. I thought that emotions were just supposed to be happy and feel good all the time. And anything that was not that, I would shove down, which led to even more dysregulation, which I was not aware of that cycle until I started doing this work. The problem is when we don't know how to emotionally regulate, this can lead to a cycle of increased stress and emotional instability. So just the tiniest thing will set us over. And if you have had this, I'm sure you've had this experience, we all have, where we let the stress build, we let the stress build, we let the stress build, and we're not regulating and we're letting it build. And then one thing happened and we just explode. And the explosion leads to a whole nother cycle of negative emotions. And a lot of times with me, anytime that that's happened, it's always shame. Like whenever I have the explosion that's like disproportionate to what's actually going on, I always feel shame. And so there's a big difference, and I've done a podcast episode about this, between regulating your emotions and processing your emotions. You have to regulate first, because that's what's happening like in the moment. And then there's emotions that's underneath it. And then you can go into your body and process after you regulate. You have to regulate before you process, and they are not the same thing. The regulation is typically is regulating to a stress response, to something that's happening inside of your body, something that you are sending signals that something is unsafe. And the more that you can bring your base stress baseline down and regulate your emotions, regulate your nervous system, it brings you back down into the state of equilibrium that really has you being more flexible and fluid. And that's why I say resilient, because you might have something that happens, but you bounce back from it quickly. It doesn't knock you down. You're not as irritable. You're not as overwhelmed. You can really be flexible and kind of like have this perspective that zooms out, where you can look at what's happening from different angles and not just the one angle that might have caused the stress response. So what is the most important thing here? Well, number one is you got to know what your triggers are. You have to know your emotional triggers. Yes, there's external triggers, but most of our triggers come from within. And a trigger essentially is something of how our perception, the way that something happens, and then the way that our brain metabolizes it. We take information in, and the way that we metabolize it is what can trigger us. And so the way that we know that we're triggered is when the thing that we're triggered by is disproportionate to our emotional reaction. So for example, if you get an email from a boss and it just says, hey, we need to talk. And it's very basic, right? But whatever your brain makes that mean, if it triggers a stress response and you might have had rejection in the past, you might have gotten fired in the past, it re-triggers those emotions that get stuck in our body. And you might be freaking out that you're already fired. And so that response is actually very disproportionate to just an email that your boss is saying they want to schedule a meeting to talk to you, because that meeting could mean about a million different things and not about you getting fired, especially if there wasn't any warnings or any conversations or any sort of inkling before that. Our brains are always going to go to worst case scenario. We're wired for it to protect us. So it's very normal, but you just have to recognize, like in those moments, how important it is to self-regulate, to be able to emotionally regulate. So the first thing is knowing your emotional triggers. And so the biggest thing here is becoming more self-aware in moments of stress. Now, this doesn't mean, oh, I'm not going to get stressed about anything. You want to know what happens in your body when stress starts to come up. So for example, my husband was just recently hiking in the Grand Canyon. And so you were going to be out of pocket and their whole entire plan was got completely derailed. Right. And I didn't know that. And the hike was supposed to start hours before, like they got up at like 4:45 in the morning to start their hike. And I'm working and I see a phone call from him come in at like 11:30. And in my mind, the hike was already supposed to happen. And so instantly, it was like, I couldn't even think myself out of it because instantly my brain was, something's wrong. Something happened, something bad. But I'm aware of how my body responds. And I was able to use my skill set, able to use my tools to help bring that stress response down and help me think, okay, what else could be going on before I was able to actually get on a call with him. He ended up texting me and kind of telling me what was going on, but it was not, you know, that's not really the point of the story. The point of the story is just getting that phone call instantly elicited a stress response. Like it was just like that. And once I was able to take a couple of deep breaths, ground myself, I was able to look from different perspectives. And so this is really important. You have to know what your triggers are. Now you might not 100% know what triggers you, but what's really important is what's happening inside of your body, because that will help you reverse engineer, if you will, what your triggers are. So when you feel like, for me, when I go into a sympathetic state, my stomach drops. I feel my body getting really hot. I feel my heart rate pick up. My breath gets shorter. So even if I'm not aware at that moment, when I pause and I drop in, I'm like, oh, something's going on here. And I might not, it might not even make sense for whatever's happening in my environment. It might be a totally peaceful moment. And all of a sudden I feel my body getting activated. And that's how you figure out what your triggers are. And so those triggers, as you know, the word is getting thrown around so much these days, essentially they're just showing you where you're not free. Your triggers are showing you where the blocks are. They're showing you where either a need isn't being met in your life or where you have a core wound, a limiting belief, something that is deep within your subconscious. And it's like when something happens and we have this response, that's going to show us, like, instead of running away from it, which is our tendency, or suppressing it, actually opening up to it and getting curious about why is this eliciting a stress response. And, you know, going back to the boss example, if you sit with that, and I've coached someone on this exact thing, they get a message, they think they're getting fired. What actually ended up happening was they got a promotion. But it's like when we instantly go to worst case scenario and we can't regulate, we can't see the other possible perspectives. And so that particular client that thought she was going to get fired, was in the past, she did get fired. And so that was a core memory that her body stored. And when we have these triggers, it's trying to protect us. It's trying to tell us to pay attention. It doesn't want us to get hurt again. It doesn't want us to experience that pain again. But if you've become more comfortable with feeling your emotions, it's not as scary. You're like, I can handle it. I can handle the emotional response because I know how to self-regulate. And so one of the most important things that you can do is understand what your triggers are. Know what triggers you. Know, and it can be so many different things. You know, from this nervous system perspective, I mean, we come into our day-to-day life with imprints. It is stories, beliefs, experiences, different things that have happened to us, our culture, so many different things that factor in to what our body and what our nervous system is carrying. We might not know what triggers us. So the first thing to do is build awareness around your emotional triggers. And what I'll do in this podcast show notes is I'll include a worksheet for you so you can start getting familiar with your emotional triggers. And you might not know what the thing is that triggers you, but you will know what's happening inside your body. And that's where we really want to start. We want to understand what happens inside of us, because the more we can understand what happens inside of us, the easier it will become to regulate during moments of stress. You know, really the key to emotional regulation is being able to keep a relaxed body when you are feeling stressed, right? Like not tensing your shoulders, not clenching down. That's, you know, the key is being like, can I relax my body as I'm having this conversation with my boss? Can I relax my body when I'm facing something that's unknown or uncertain? And so understanding those triggers and understanding how your body reacts is the first place to start. So I will make sure I include that in the show notes because it will be really helpful for you to start understanding what triggers you and then how, what practices, and you know, we'll get to those in later episodes, but what practices work for different situations. So for example, going back to getting a message from my husband who I thought was in the Grand Canyon and get a phone call from him, I knew instantly at that moment I couldn't answer my phone. What I needed to do was box breathing and orienting, looking around, being like, I'm safe, and really being like, there's nothing I can do in this moment, right? And so the more I could come back down into a more balanced place inside my body, the easier it was me to access those thoughts, right? And not just go to worst case scenario of like all the different types of things that could be going on. Okay. So that is the key, is recognizing and understanding your emotional triggers and being able to, it's almost like you just want to be a detective for a couple weeks, is just start paying attention to the things that trigger you and how your body responds and what happens inside of your body. So a couple of different techniques that you can practice with and play around with for emotional regulation. And again, this is going to sound very repetitive, but there's a reason. The number one thing, and I mentioned this earlier, is mindfulness. It's just being aware, right? Being aware of what's happening inside of you, what's going on around you. So being able to stay grounded in the present moment, which will diffuse stress. So again, getting that phone call, I was able to use mindfulness to know what was going on to stay grounded. And I really like to anchor down. That's why I love doing the box breathing, because it brings balance to my body and it helps me stay grounded. And the more I practice it, the easier it's for me to think about going there without having to like overly consciously think about it. Like I really didn't have to think about it at all. It was just automatic for me. And it's because I was mindful and I was aware of what was going on in my body, right? I could have been like on my call being like, sorry, I need to get off this call and call my husband back right away. Like that would have been from a place of dysregulation. I was really able to stay grounded, which helped diffuse the stress. So that's the first thing, is mindfulness. The other thing that helps with mindfulness is meditation. And I know, you know, people say I'm terrible at meditation. No one is terrible at meditation. We're not supposed to turn off our brain. We're not supposed to turn off our thoughts. It's just not possible. Meditation just helps you see what your thoughts are and just gives you a little space. It's allowing you to see what's going on, what's coming up for you without judging it, without attaching to it. And that really is a way to bring your body back into alignment and calm your mind, calm your body. So again, you can think about things in a different perspective. And, you know, meditation, there's so many different types of meditation. You know, you could have a little mantra that you use that helps you get grounded. You can also focus on something in front of you and just breathe, focus on your inhales and exhales. You can also use apps. There's so many different ways to meditate and it's so accessible. Like it's just, you know, one of those things where you can download an app and just go to that right away. And like the more that you can practice with meditation, the easier it will be for you to not attach to your thoughts, because the thoughts creates the stress story, right? You're telling a story around what you think is actually happening and it's your perception of it, which is eliciting the stress response in your body. And then of course, this wouldn't be my podcast I wasn't introducing a breathing exercise to really help reduce stress levels. So this breathing exercise, I've talked about it before on the podcast, but it's called the physiological sigh. It's fantastic. You can do it really quickly and it really helps diffuse and reduce stress. So the way that it works is you take an inhale halfway, it's like this, and then you take another inhale all the way, and then you exhale making a sigh. And you do that for a couple minutes. And let me tell you, that is a magical technique. It's very quick. It's very effective. The other thing is when you have something that triggers you is to focus on extending your exhale, because I want you to think that the trigger kind of takes you out of your body. It takes you out of the present moment. You go into this fight or flight response, right? So stress takes you into the state of like, where's the threat? What's the danger? Like being hypervigilant. And when you can connect with your breath and focus on extending the exhale, that's going to help reduce stress levels as well. So focusing on the exhale is very grounding. It's very anchoring. And this is the breath that I use whenever someone is feeling very activated or stressed or overwhelmed by emotion. I use the double exhalation to get them back into their body. And that can be done very simply in 3 minutes as well. And so you can kind of notice like these don't take a long time and they're very simple. And you might be listening, being like, yeah, Brittany, I know this. And you might know it, but the question is, are you practicing it? Are you doing this? Are you doing these techniques? Because if not, it's really important that you start making this a priority, because truly stress isn't going anywhere. And as we know, as we get older, the stress just seems to increase. So having this skill set is the most important skill set that you can have, truly, because the more that you can help regulate your emotions, because stress is just one of those sneaky things that can really negatively impact your health. All of the types of conditions that just seem to come out of nowhere, or there's no part of it in your, not part of it, but like, you know, you have a disease and you can't trace it back to anyone in your family, or it's not genetics. It comes from stress, because stress creates inflammation. Stress decreases our immune function. Stress impacts our sleep, which is very critical for helping rebuild in our body and helping rebuild our health back up. When we're sick, what's the number one thing? Like when you have a cold or the flu, what's the number one thing that everyone prescribes? Is sleep and rest. And there's a reason. But when you're stressed, you cannot get that type of deep rest that is necessary to help restore balance in your body and your mind. And so even if you've heard these before, mindfulness, meditation, those thoughts of I've heard this before, I know this already, that is actually what's so detrimental to our integration, because it's one thing to know, and it's another thing to actually do it and practice and implement it. And when you do it, you kind of are mind blown about how simple it is and how effective it is. Like truly, like it's so crazy. And it's the best thing ever because it's so simple. It doesn't require a lot. It doesn't require you meditating for 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes in the afternoon. Of course, if you can do that, fantastic. No, it just requires mindfulness and awareness. And the more you practice it, the easier it is to access it in moments of stress. Because if we go back to last week's episode, when you are stressed, when your stress is high, intelligence is low. So you want to use the tiny bit of cognition that you have available to you during a stress response to have that thought of what to do, right? It's like, I know when I feel this way, I do this. I know when I feel this way, I do this. I know when I feel this way, I do this. And being able to have your brain already know, like that pathway has already been created, is so important. I cannot stress that enough. So let's talk about how to implement these and integrate them into your daily routines. And, you know, again, you don't want to just go like when you listen, like, okay, I'm going to be super rigid and regimented and I'm going to do all the things. Start small. Right? Maybe it's just setting aside time to be mindful, like just checking in, doing a body scan. How's your body feeling when you're working? Do a check-in. Are you clenching your jaw? Is your stomach in knots? Have you taken a break? Right? Meditation. If you really want to start meditating, start with a minute. Seriously. I know that sounds ridiculous, but start with a minute. And the easier you make it for yourself, the easier it will be to do. Once you get over the hump, then you'll get the dopamine hit of, oh, that feels good. I want to do that again. But in the beginning, it doesn't feel good. And you really don't get that much out of it, but you have to build on the habit. So it creates that strong neural pathway. So again, your brain knows which direction to go when you're having a moment of stress. And then the other thing is breathing exercises. Like just making some time in your morning, whether it's 1 minute or 2 minutes, to just do intentional conscious breathing. I'm telling you, if you just break it down and do these small things, you can truly integrate it into your life. The other thing is understanding why. Why are you doing it? You know, we live in this world with so much information. We're like, social media is inundated with all the things that we should do. The key is finding what works for you and understanding why you want to do it. I know the things that work for me. And for a while, I think I was doing certain things because I was told that that was a good thing to do. And now I just do things because I really love how it makes me feel. I really love how it sets me up for the day. I really love how I respond to things differently in my life. And I remember it becomes this discipline. And when I use discipline, it's really just remembering. It's like remembering why this is important. And now having my daughter, like just being an example for her. Like the other day, I was trying to figure something out and I got frustrated and she was watching me and I just did this like audible guttural, like, because I wanted to get the frustration out. And so she goes, "Mama." And so we had a conversation about frustration. And we talked about it. I told her, I'm like, "You do feel frustrated sometimes?" And she said, "Yeah." And we talked about what that feels like. And I explained to her, I was like, you know, mommy's going to get frustrated by things. And it, you know, wasn't about anything she was doing. It was something I was doing on my computer. But I was explaining to her that it's a normal thing to get frustrated. And what's really important is that you allow the emotion to be there and you bring your body back down into balance through breathing. And whether or not she understands me right now, just being able to have these conversations are to me very important. Like, she's my why. I want to teach her the things that I did not learn. And I think, you know, being an example of it is better than just telling her. I want to show her. I want to show her an imperfect person that gets frustrated, that has emotions, and then knows what to do with them. And sometimes I do a great job, sometimes I don't. And then I get to break it down and explain why I didn't have, you know, why in a stressful moment I wasn't able to self-regulate. So start small and just slowly build these practices in. Pick one. If you want to meditate, great. If you want to do mindfulness exercise, set a reminder on your phone for 3 check-ins throughout the day. If you want to start doing breathing exercises before you get out of bed, do a couple rounds of box breathing. Set a reminder on your phone to check in with how you're breathing throughout the day. Notice if you're breathing in and out of your mouth. Notice if you're breathing through your chest. Just these little check-ins, right? Those little moments are how you're going to end up incorporating and integrating emotional regulation into your day-to-day life. Okay. So the other thing that I want to talk about is neuroplasticity. And I am going to go deeper into this, but you know, we talk a lot about neuroplasticity through like changing our brain, right? And it using it to change our thoughts and we create stronger neural pathways. But we can also use neuroplasticity to adjust our nervous system because it just shows us how adaptable and malleable our brains and nervous systems truly are. So neuroplasticity is the brain's ability to reorganize itself by forming new neural connections throughout life. And so the capacity for this change is the foundation for learning new skills. That's why babies learn so fast, because the brain is literally, essentially, plastic. It's incredible. That's why they adapt to new situations. They adapt to change so well. And it gets, you know, our ability to do that gets smaller and smaller, but it's not set in stone. Like, we still have the ability as adults to change our brains. Our brains are still malleable. So when we consider neuroplasticity in the context of stress management and emotional regulation, it opens up a world of possibility for growth and healing. So neuroplasticity challenges that once held belief that the brain structure and functions were static and unchangeable after a certain period of development. And so there's been tons of research that has shown that the brain can create new pathways and alter pre-existing ones in response to experiences, behavior, and environmental changes. So this means our brains are continuously shaped by our thoughts, our emotions, and our actions. And so this is really important because this is essentially at the heart of the coaching that I've done with the model and teaching, you know, their circumstances. And then we have thoughts about those circumstances. Thoughts create how we feel. Feelings drive action, and actions drive results. So the whole point of that mindset coaching is to help you see patterns of thinking or behavior that are harmful or unhelpful. And so what I do with my clients is I help them practice new thought patterns or behaviors, which can rewire our brains, which strengthen pathways that support a more helpful response to stress and reduce the impact of pathways that lead to anxiety or even depression. And so this is what I'm using with my clients is I'm helping them create new thought patterns and practice them over and over again. And I've been actually incorporating this more with the breath work that I'm doing because emotion plus repetition is the key to neuroplasticity. So the implications of neuroplasticity extend way beyond just our thought and behavioral changes. It also can help how our nervous system has the capacity to adapt. So, like I said, being able to leverage neuroplasticity to adjust our nervous system comes back down to these strategies that I've been sharing. So we've shared about mindfulness and meditation, right? Being able to have a regular mindfulness and meditation practice literally will change the structure of your brain. It will help areas of attention, emotional regulation, and self-awareness. So these are the practices that will help shift from a sympathetic state, which is that stress response, into that parasympathetic, which is that relaxed response. And we can also use breath work, deep belly breathing, because that stimulates the vagus nerve, which is the key component of the parasympathetic nervous system. That's what helps you get into rest and digest, and being able to stimulate the vagus nerve helps you enhance your vagal tone, which makes it easier for your body to relax. And most importantly, when you're in a relaxed state, is how you can recover from stress. Other ways is having positive social interactions. Social connections and positive interactions can also stimulate production of neurotransmitters and hormones that create feelings of well-being and, most importantly, safety. So positive social behavior and interactions will reinforce the brain pathways and neural pathways that make these feelings more accessible. So you have this resource feeling and helps strengthen the body's stress resilience. And then the other thing we've talked about is physical exercise and movement. Exercise is not only for the body, but it also helps with neuroplasticity. Regular physical activity increases production of different neurons around growth and connections, and this can lead to improvement in mood, cognition, for a stronger, more resilient nervous system. And so you can see, like, again, these techniques and these practices, they're not complicated. And they're not as tough to access. You don't have to have a gym membership to do physical activity. You can go for walks. You can do things at your house. There's so many different things you can do. Social interaction. We're social creatures. We have a social nervous system. We literally need connection for survival. We learned that during COVID, how important that is for our well-being. And so you could see how having those positive social interactions, how that can create those new neural networks in your brain and, most importantly, in your body. And so I think all of this is to say how important it is to adopt that growth mindset. So having the belief that your abilities and intelligence can be developed over time through dedication, through consistency, through repetition, and most importantly, through hard work, showing up for yourself. So understanding that your brain and nervous system is not fixed. That's so important. Because people come to me and think that this is just how they are. And I'm like, no, this was an adaptation. You learned this for survival. This isn't who you are. You weren't born this way. When I have clients tell me, I've just always been a people pleaser. I'm like, did you come in the world as a people pleaser? Because I'm pretty sure as a toddler, you were not aiming to please anyone. You were focusing on what you need and you were very good at it. So it's just important to know that our brains and nervous systems are not fixed and very capable of extraordinary change. And this can really empower us to take action and really get into our bodies in a way that we've never have before. And being in this place is so important. Adopting that growth mindset can ultimately be the difference between you growing and evolving and not truly. Because if we think we are just the way we are and we'll always be this way, that's where our growth stops. And no matter what, we're changing. So we're either growing and evolving or we're going backwards. And I don't know about you, but if you're listening to this podcast, you probably want to keep moving. You probably want to keep growing and moving forward with me. So let's keep growing and moving forward with me. So that's what I want to share with you today. I really want to help you understand and become more aware of your emotional triggers and your habitual responses to those triggers. I want to encourage you to practice mindfulness and just being aware of what your thoughts are to help you manage intense emotions without resorting to maladaptive behaviors, behaviors that you developed for a form of survival. Because being able to address these underlying emotional and thought patterns will help reduce symptoms of anxiety, of depression. Like these, like the root, right, of what's going on, if you can really address this and have the tools and the support, it can help completely change the trajectory of your life, completely. And then anyone that does this work will find themselves better equipped to handle life stresses and challenges and just have greater resilience, because that's what we want. You know, sometimes we're just like, I'm resilient. I'm just pushing through life and I'm just showing up. And that is a part of resilience, but truly resilience is flexibility. It's being able to handle and be equipped to life stresses and not having them knock us on our tush whenever something unexpected comes up. So being able to have this skill set, and I will continue to say skill set because, again, if you're like me, you did not learn this, and that's okay because we can learn it now. That's right. We're learning it now. High five to learning it now. Okay. So that's what I have for you today. Give me a shout if you have any questions, if anything is unclear, if you want help with this. Of course, I am here for you to support you through this and help you build your stress resilience. I'm helping you build your toolkit. So start small, pick one thing that you want to implement, and then build on it. I am here to support you every step of the way. All right, my friend, until next time, remember to love yourself, own your happiness, and let your light shine, because you are so worthy of it. Until next time.